Earlier today, I read what I thought was a really interesting article by John Cardinelli, fine sports writer, and he was talking about rugby skills, which appear to have declined during lockdown. As I mentioned to Pippa nearly an hour ago, I haven't seen any of the rugby that has been played since contact sport, professional contact sport, was allowed to be played again. So I didn't see the fan stuff and, you know, that, and then the two, whatever it's called, whatever this competition is called, our provincial version of Super Rugby. I haven't seen either of the two matches which has been played, but apparently there is a very obvious deterioration in the skills of the players. Not their fitness, not team cohesion, but individual skills. And a fascinating explanation advanced for that. Dr. Cheryl Calder is a sports scientist and founder of the iGym. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi, John. How are you?
I am in very good health, I'm delighted to say. And yourself?
I'm good, thank you.
Is it obvious? You've watched. It is obvious to you that the skills are not what they were in January and February as we were just getting started on Super Rugby.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that. People in general have commented, coaches have commented, that the skill level is not what it should be.
And you think that at least part of the reason, part of the reason might just be that they haven't been able to practice those skills as they would ordinarily for a 7-month period. But part of it, you believe, is because there is a reasonable suspicion that a lot of these players would have spent a lot more time on their phone or tablet devices than they would ordinarily do.
Yeah. So when, you know, when people are bored or people don't have anything to do, the first thing they do is go to their phones and get entertained by whatever, you know, platform they go onto. And they've shown that people spend sometimes about 10 to 14 hours on their phones a day. And hopefully not these rugby players, but definitely a few hours a day just scrolling through things and picking up information, a lot of it which is not actually relevant to you. But working on the small screen, emitting this blue light, etc., is not the ideal thing that an elite sportsman should be doing.
What is the link between doing that and a deterioration in skills? What happens inside that person's, I don't know, neurocognitive? Is that the environment in which something would happen, the neurocognitive network?
Yeah, visual cognitive, probably more specific. So the eyes were never designed to work on small screens, etc. I mean, if you're talking general, the eyes were kind of designed to hunt for food, you know, in the early days. So to look for and use our eyes widely for, etc., not do close things. And there's a lot of research that's been done on that as well to show the deterioration. But there are lots of other things happening. So we are overloading our brains, overloading information. As I said, a lot of it is probably not even relevant to us. And I always use the analogy that if you have a computer and you overload it and you put too much information on it, it's gonna break down eventually. It's gonna crash. However, we're doing it to ourselves all the time. And no one is realizing the consequences of that.
Yeah, I get that it's distracting, that there is a potential for overload. I've read a lot about blue light and the impact of that. But why would somebody who is, I don't know, 25 years old and an athlete in the prime of his career who has been practicing skills since, I don't know, since he was 8 or 9, or maybe he was a relatively late starter and started in mid-teens. And I think we're talking about the ability to pass a ball, catch a ball, those kinds of things. Why should that deteriorate because you're looking at your phone for 10 hours a day?
Number one, because you're doing this really close work. And when you're catching a ball, you've got to track the ball coming towards you. And because your eyes are so used to training at a really close level, which, I mean, screens are almost in some of the guys' eyes, the ability to look far, look close, and et cetera, near, far focus, et cetera, and a lot of other skills is much slower than it used to be because we just don't do it enough anymore. And if we spend so many hours looking so closely, we actually training the ability to look close. And anything you train more, you become better at. So we kind of detrain the ability of our eyes to look far and see in our peripheral and have this awareness around us and see what's happening around us. And it's based on skill level, but there are other components that also play a role.
Those
I don't
being,
know if that answers your question, John, or if you want me to move
no,
on.
No. I mean, it's okay. But I was thinking as I was listening, Cheryl, then to take it out of the field of elite sport and the skills one needs to be an elite sports person, surely the same thing would apply to me if I wake up in the morning and today was the first day that I didn't have to go to rehearsals. I kind of was at a loose end because for the last 2 weeks I've been getting up and working really hard and going to rehearsal for 4 hours and things. So I didn't spend a lot of time on my phone this morning, but I could have. Yeah. I had time where I could have spent 3.5-4 hours on my phone. Yeah. And if one does that regularly, then does the same thing apply, for example, to your driving ability? Because your driving ability requires you to have peripheral vision, to be aware of what is to the left, to the right, and behind you, or slightly behind you.
Yeah, and judge depth. I mean, when you're close on your phone, you're deteriorating that ability as well. So the sportsmen are actually the lucky ones because they train those natural abilities, how we naturally should be living on a daily basis because they go to practice, etc. But they also detrain it when they get on their phone. So what I'm saying is if I'm an elite sportsman, I would be really cautious of how much time I spend on these tiny devices or smart devices because it's often in elite sport, it's not continuous mistakes that you make. It's that one mistake under pressure when you've got to make an effective decision that you don't do it. And that's important for me. It's not the everyday stuff that happens. So they are the lucky ones. People, John, that work in the office and, you know, don't go outside, etc. And are still using devices. I mean, you're deteriorating that ability even more. So I mean, those people should even be more aware of digital timeouts and, you know, just at dinner table, no one uses a phone. We leave our phones in the other room or just something like that, you know, because we're losing our awareness. We're losing our ability to socialize because we're always pulled by these devices. You know, I sit in company with people and people now have watches, whether it pings or it vibrates or something. And while someone's talking to you, they'll actually look at the phone to see who sent a message. And I think we just, I think we've got to be very cautious of what we're actually doing to ourselves.
The aspect of the breakdown in social conventions is something outside of this. I mean, it is a very important issue, but I just want to go back finally to the issue of de-learning. The impact is so significant that it can change the course of a match. I mean, I'm putting words in your mouth and you can say, well, no, not quite that significant to John. Or is it? I mean, is the de-learning of skills such that it is entirely possible that a player could make a mistake which could turn the course of a match because that player didn't decouple himself from his phone?
Quite possibly. You know, it's really possible because we've been assessing players over the last 6, 7 years, 8 years, and we've definitely seen a decline in performance, in specific performance related to how you take information in, process it, and respond to it.
Okay, I've got a couple of quick things from listeners, and then we'll say thank you to you, Cheryl.
Yes.
What about bigger devices like laptops? Same effect?
The bigger the device, the better. If that says anything, the bigger the screen, the better. So, yes.
Okay,
but we still need to take those timeouts. You know, we still need to work for a few minutes and then look up and look far and not stay in one position all the time. You know, it's just not – you can take any component. If you sit on your haunches for an hour, for example, and you want to get up, you're going to feel the effects of that. But yet we're doing it to the eyes and the brain all the time. And you don't feel the immediate effects, but the long-term effects are disastrous.
And I'm told somebody has sent us a voice note disagreeing with you. So let's both listen to that, and then you can comment.
Of course.
I don't agree with that statement on the peripheral view due to focusing on a phone, yes, that is a negative, but in the long haul, it can't be, because people have been reading for centuries, and it hasn't had an effect. Like, even if you, it's not like scripture was much larger than the wording on a phone or any visual images on a phone or a tablet. So I don't agree with that.
Cheryl, then, is it the light emanating from the screen that makes the difference? Sorry, Cheryl, you're not. Yeah, sorry, you weren't live. Is it the light on the screen that makes the difference between a screen and a book, as raised by that listener?
Of course, the light has a very negative effect. And I think in that article I speak a little bit about the effects on sleep. But the device is really small. It's way smaller than a book would be, than the general book would be. But they've shown that reading too much also had effects. So, but books are way better. You just page, you're more aware of what's happening around you, unless you put the book to your nose. But phones are being read really close, and there's a general awareness of deteriorating. There's no doubt about it. We do a lot of work with drivers in with Discovery, and we've got some statistics from that as well.
Dr. Cheryl Calder, thank you very, very much indeed. She said one can read too much. Perhaps that explains why I am so hapless. I read too much. Dr. Cheryl Calder, sports scientist, founder of the iGym.